football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Welcome to the CBFA podcast. Your hosts, James and Cole, with you again. This week, we've got Chris Vermette joining us. Welcome, Chris. You called the Division I final for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Finally, was able to make some time coming in and do this with you guys.
We appreciate it. All right. Well, I will start us off with the Division III finals. That was the Rebels taking on the Lions, and that was an exciting football game. Let me tell you, oh my goodness. It was back and forth. The Lions held the edge of the play in the early stages, but the Rebels held on and fought back, and their defense actually stood up and turned the ball over and gave their offense some short fields and allowed them to get back in the game. And the Rebels actually took the lead in the third into the fourth quarter, I think. And it was a Lions comeback, fourth quarter comeback, that ultimately gave them a 30-24 victory over the Rebels in that final, Division III final. So congratulations to the Lions. I know the Rebels are disappointed in a winless season, but as we were talking about afterwards, that Rebels team is the most talented and just all-out best 0-10 team that we've ever seen. They were in every game. They weren't they weren't really, other than, tough losses against the Raiders and the other leaders. They were competitive. They only lost, to the Mavericks by a rouge on the last play of the game. And as we'll talk about, the Mavericks also won a trophy. So, good on the Rebels for their effort, and congratulations to the Lions for salvaging what for them was also a really tough season.
On social media following the game, there was some comments that were made that were not entirely accurate, and that led to the entire comment section being completely disabled. Those comments were not true and completely and utterly uncalled for and not okay.
And rather than
never have happened,
rather than try and fight fake news, just shut it down.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a real shame that that's happened. Cause like you said, the Rebels have had such a fantastic season, despite going winless, and that kind of leaves a bit of a gray mark on it, in my opinion.
Well, and my opinion is it's the opinion of a vocal few, and it doesn't hold with the entire community. I know there's a lot of great parents out there, and I know there's disappointment, but this is and always will be a developmental football league where the kids are here to learn the fundamentals and grow within the sport, and learn how to handle adversity in life. This is an important life lesson, not just football. Yeah. So, an 0-10 season is hard to swallow, but my first season in organized football was 0-8, and it was tough. I was very tough, but it didn't kill me, I tell you, the Rebels team this year was damn sight better than my 0-8 team. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, the Div 2 final, featured the Mavericks and the Bulldogs and was also a very exciting game. It took a while for things to get going from what I can vaguely remember, but the Mavericks did end up scoring a couple of touchdowns. We were questioning if it was the most amount of points they'd scored in one game all season, but I confirmed that it wasn't, but it was close.
Oh, it was within a score.
And yeah, it was, I think I was right in my comments last week, and it was a game of whose defense would be better. And it really showed that the Mavericks have a really good defense this year, and you know they didn't need many points to win it. They only won by 12 over the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs did kick a field goal, and that game finished 15-3. But yeah, like it was a very well fought battle between both of these teams, and the Mavericks defense just stood on their heads more, slightly more than the Bulldogs did.
Yeah, another entertaining football game.
Yeah, I think apart from the Div 1 final, which Chris will talk about, it was actually the Div 2 and Div 3 finals were actually really, really good and close.
Yeah, for sure. Excellent football all year. So why don't you go ahead and tell us all about the Division One final.
Well, I mean, it started like it was expected in some senses. I mean, obviously with the Raiders being heavily favored, yeah, the game started, and then Raiders just basically just gave it to McGilligot. It was basically a running back battles because it was Louis Wang and Christian McGilligot that just kept running the ball. So it was number 20 both ways. And obviously the blocking with the Raiders, all the receivers get downfield and they're all getting on bodies, so Raiders jumped out to a quick lead, and it was actually 35 points at halftime that they had the lead by. So they end up doing runtime for the second half, which actually ended up playing a big factor because second half the Wildcats actually were winning 14-0 in the second half. Unfortunately, not enough to close the gap, but it would have been very interesting if it wasn't runtime for the second half.
Right. Wow.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, like Wildcats, when they shift in the second half, they shifted to quarterback change and they put in Jovin Sidhu, and he just did a lot of quick hitters, and that's actually was very successful for them. Then they had a recovered an onside kick that worked. They had a couple forced punts, like the defense really picked up and forced a couple punts by the
Nice.
Raiders. I mean, I don't know if the Raiders changed their game plan a little bit just because it was run clock and they had a big lead. But
Did they change quarterbacks in the second half?
the Raiders, no, the Raiders stuck with Davin Bacabobone for the whole game. I mean, he's always just so poised. I mean, he like I said, they stuck with the run game. They didn't do a whole lot of throws. There was a few throws that went to Peyton Grant, had a couple. Trying to think who else, because the receiver that had the first touchdown for the game, I believe, because I think McGilligot got the second one. I just for some reason I can't recall who it was now. So yeah, they had a little bit of passing in the game, but it was mainly just all rushing. They had a bunch of penalties that like holding penalties that drew them back, but I wouldn't be surprised if McGilligot was pushing 160 yards rushing in that game.
Wow, yeah, that's some ball and clock control, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. And like I said, though, on the other side, I mean, Louis Huang was he was well over 100 as well. He was rushing the ball really good. He's got that like Derrick Henry acceleration where it doesn't look like he's going super fast, but he's still blowing by guys. So
Nice, yeah. Yeah, we'll see him again. With the selects, I'm sure.
oh yeah, I'm sure both of them are. It's top two running backs right there, in my opinion. There's the other one would be from the Eagles there, Oliver Bennett. I like him as well as a running back.
Yeah. So the final score in that Division One final was Raiders 43 and Wildcats 24, but not without a little bit of controversy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was 43-8 at halftime, and so it went into runtime, which I mean, it isn't really controversial. I mean, it's been a rule in minor football for a long time. Actually, I think even the universities run that rule as well, to be honest. I think it's just anything but CFL runs that rule for Canadian football, at least.
Yeah, for sure. It's long been a minor football, standard rule, going way back beyond our time. But yeah, so I'm sure there were some disappointed folks on the Wildcats side that, they might have felt that they didn't get their chance, but they should have, done more in the first half. That's what it boils down to. They you can't let the game get that far away, and then the clock's not an issue.
Yeah, like I said, they just couldn't get their passing game going. They tried it a little bit more. I mean, obviously a lot of plays to Louis because he's a good running back, but they just really couldn't seem to get the passing game going in the first half. And Airdrie was actually getting a lot of pressure on the line, so I mean that caused a lot of issues. Actually, surprisingly, now that I mentioned that, I think the passing game for the Raiders wasn't really working either because the Wildcats were in the backfield a ton. And they actually had a couple screen plays that worked out really well because obviously, that's the best way to mitigate that pressure is if they want to send everyone, fine, we'll just run screens. So that worked a couple times, but yeah.
Yeah, in-game adjustment, it just needed to be done a little sooner in order to save the clock. But yeah, the Raiders are still full measure for that victory and will be heading down to Raymond to play the Comets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't end up seeing who won that game because the winner of that was going up to the Leduc, was it?
No, the winner of that is hosting us. The loser of that game, which was McGrath, is heading up to Leduc.
Okay.
Raymond ended up winning that game 14-7, so it was actually probably one of the lower scoring games that they've had all season. And yeah, it features a Tier 1 provincial rematch for the Tier 1 semifinals this year.
Nice.
Cool.
Hopefully, Airdrie can actually do the opposite of what happened last year and winning
Yeah.
Raymond, even though that's a very tough barn to build to win in.
Is. And the weather and just a tough environment altogether down there. And obviously a very talented football team too.
I think unlike last year though, like Airdrie might be better off because like looking trying to find the word, sorry. Last year we didn't really have any adverse weather throughout our season, really and truly. Like we had the one snow day for the Div 3 semifinal, but like the Raiders never really saw high winds or rain or anything throughout the rest of the regular season. And when they went down to Raymond last year, it was windy.
Yeah,
And
very
they were
windy.
without their star running back throughout the entire year. And it hindered them. This year, we look at the city finals and it was, oh, I guess actually the last couple of weeks it was fairly windy down at Scholeis, really so on Saturday. And the Raiders were able to move the ball really well despite the conditions.
Yeah.
And so, if they have their full roster, of course, with Select starting later, they're able to not have to worry about that as much. All their players can go to all their practices, not have to jump between both. If they're able to keep their full roster for next weekend, they'll be a lot better off than they were last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that game goes at 3 o'clock in Raymond, and I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe that Raymond will be streaming it. They did last year, through their high school stuff, so.
Okay, well, if we can find this the stream, we'll share the link.
Yeah, the Raymond High School actually does quite a bit of streaming when they have their high school games, and it's actually really well put together. There's ads and everything, and they have replays. It's actually quite well done, to be honest.
Well, that's how I was able to keep track of what happened to that Raven McGrath game on the weekend after our games were done, was because they were streaming it.
Nice. Yeah, I'd have to say they do a really good job, to be honest. From, the level of football, there's not a lot of that quality streaming. And like I said, when you see replays in slow-mo, I was like, that's pretty impressive for that level. I like it.
So now we have provincial finals coming up this weekend. I did make a slight error on my social media post and forgot to add the actual date, because when you're dealing with drunk friends and posting things the next day after having no sleep, you miss one thing called the date.
Minor details.
Minor details. Regardless, all of the provincial games will be happening on Saturday, November 8th. At various locations across the province. We'll start off with the Alberta Bowl or the Tier 4 provincial final, which will be happening in Calgary at Shoals Athletic Park at Stampeder Field. The Fort Saskatchewan Falcons will be playing the Cochrane Lions, our Div 3 champion. Fort Sask was actually here last year for the Tier 3 final, which they lost to the Wildcats. In the Tier 3 final this year, the Mavericks will be heading up to Edmonton to play the Lloydminster Junior Raiders. Because the Lloydminster Junior Raiders won the battle of the Raiders versus Raiders in the CDMFA second division.
Oh, there's two Raiders up there.
Yeah, really original names up there. Also happening in Edmonton that day, the McGrath Wolverines will be taking on the Duke Ticats. The winner of that game will host the winner of the other Tier 1 semifinal, which, as we previously mentioned, will host between the Airdrie Raiders and the Raymond Comets. So, if Airdrie is to go down to Raymond and win that game, they will not host the Tier 1 final. They will go to the winner of either A McGrath or B Leduc, which means they could go back down to the middle of absolutely nowhere, southern Alberta, or they could be going up to Edmonton.
Right.
Both
Either
bad.
way, the final football game of the year at Schold Ice will be that Tier 4 final.
Not counting high school, which is resuming this week as well. But yeah. Anything else you two want to add? We got provincials coming up this weekend.
Yeah,
And
we
then
don't do selects until after provincials is over, and that's
yeah, the Tier 1
the
final is over, yeah.
finals on what, the 15th or 16th?
15th.
15th.
Yeah, I think it's actually been it's been a really good year this year for football.
Yes. Yeah, we'll probably do a final provincial wrap up in a couple of weeks to wrap up the entire season and all that. But this will be the last regular show for a little while. And I just wanted to thank you, Cole, for coming out and carrying the podcast all year. I'm sure your back is sore from carrying me.
I couldn't do it without you, James.
Chris, thank you for coming out tonight and for coming to Schold Ice Park all year and calling all those games for the kids. I know the announcing helps make the experience on the field so much better. So, thank you.
Like
Well, I mean,
to. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I mean, I'm thankful that someone reached out because I do enjoy announcing, and it's just a way to give back since I can't physically play anymore because of my health. So it's like, you know what? I still want to stick close to it, and I got a 3-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old daughter, so a little bit longer until they can play in SAFL.
right on.
Because we'll be seeing them sampled at some point in time, right?
Hopefully. I mean, it's their choice, but hopefully.
Right.
And the CBFA.
Yeah, that's right. They can play in it. So, I mean, by then, who knows? Maybe the SAFL's running so well that they won't be allowed that, which is a good and a bad thing. But I mean, if SAFL can grow that much, then that's a good thing too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I
Something
would
we
also
all.
like to thank our other announcers, Scott Dusing and Kevin Kratz as well, who were also part of our larger than normal announcing crew this year.
Yeah,
Both doing fantastic jobs throughout the season.
and both of them joined the podcast at various times. Scott, earlier in the season, his input was fantastic. And Kevin, we appreciate him coming back. He's been in parts of a few years with us now. So, thank you to both those guys, Kevin, Scott, and you, Chris, and Cole. Thanks again for organizing all the volunteers, the announcing volunteers, and going forward, all the volunteers for the CBFA. You'll be taking over for Tom. So, more shoes to fill, if not bigger ones.
Yeah, no, but exciting times. And lastly, I think we'd like to thank, all of our volunteers, and all of our directors who are also volunteers, for, another amazing season in the CBFA. And we will look forward to provincials and seeing everybody down at Shoalhaven Athletic Park next year for the 2026 season.
And yeah, if you're around, one more game this Saturday down at Schoeldice, 1 o'clock, Schoeldice Park, Stampeder Field, I believe. And yeah, so last hoorah this weekend. And until next time.
Go football.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles at their new location, 756 100 First Street, Southwest Calgary, or online, www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Thank you for listening. Thank you.